Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about Google. What's coming up? What are the trends and that sort of thing for the end of this year and the upcoming next year, 2024?
Yeah, it's nuts, right? How are we at the end of 2023 already?
I know. You know, the way I think about it is Karina is going to be, she's only got 2 years of high school left with us. So I'm like really trying to like spend as much time with her as possible against her will.
I was going to say, how does she feel about that?
Yeah, so tonight I'm going to this parent volleyball clinic because she's on the volleyball team at her school. And it'll be, I think the parents are going to play the kids from what I understand. So we'll see. It's going to be crazy because most of the parents I'm sure can't play. So
I don't know about that. So in my daughter's cheer, they wanted to do like a parent team. And I was like, absolutely not. No, thanks. Like I have no desire to do any cheerleading.
I would pay money to see that.
You would have to pay money because I'm not doing it. But all the parents are all excited. I was like, no, this literally gives me zero excitement and nothing but terror. I don't trust another parent to hold me up. I'm not going to try to do a cartwheel. I don't even think I could do a somersault anymore.
This reminds me of the routine I had to do to pass my high school gym exam. We had to do a floor routine.
What?
We had to do a floor routine. That was part of the exam. And I remember you got to do the corners, you know, we had a whole, you know, bouncy mat
what
and everything.
What sort of PE was this? We had to walk the track.
So I would do, the only thing I could do was a forward roll. So I would run full speed, jump into a forward roll, and then I'd do backward rolls.
Oh, that's impressive.
You can't see this, but I had to do, like, you had to do, you know,
the jump kicks.
The jump kicks.
Were they trying to make you into a gymnast?
No, but it ended up being, I have a lot of memories of that because like everyone looked ridiculous.
I would have just failed. I would have failed the class. So I said, no, thank you. I'll take the F. Yeah. Time is short. Time is running out for 2023. And we were just talking offline about the Google update, speaking of updates and what's coming. So Google made a big update. Was it in August or September?
There's two updates, September and October.
September and October. See, I don't even know what month it is anymore.
So one thing I was playing around with yesterday was SGE, which I think it stands for Search Generative Experience.
Okay.
It's basically their new AI search, which I think is going to be a glimpse into the future. So what you do is you just type in your search query. Mm-hmm. And then at the very top, you know, normally where the ads are, mm-hmm. it's an AI response. It answers the question. And then there's usually three links.
Okay. Can I do this right now on my computer?
You can. You just have to make sure you turn it on.
Oh, so it's a setting that people have to turn on.
It's a setting right now. But, you know, I think this is a glimpse into what it looks like in the future. And unless you're one of the top, I don't think I've ever seen more than three. Yeah, unless you're one of like the top three or four, let's say,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're not going to get any traffic. But below it is just the regular search results.
Okay, so let me get this straight. When you type in a search into Google, currently you have to have it turned on.
Yes.
Google gives you the answer.
Google gives you the answer.
Or an answer. Probably, I don't want to say the answer.
It's probably an answer similar to Bard, I'm guessing.
And then there's three links, and those would be, as previously seen, the top three results in a Google search.
That I don't know.
Okay. But that's sort of the purpose of it, right? Like those are the links that Google thinks are the best to answer the question.
Yes, I believe so. And then they're not just links. They're like big rectangles, actually. There's like an image mm-hmm. like that's taken from your post, I'm sure. And then the title stacked side by side.
So what's interesting is I heard about something similar to this for recipes, but basically that you were getting everything you needed for the recipe on the search result page.
That's correct. That is exactly what happens.
So you have no need to click over to the blog post.
That is correct. So for example, I said, how do I get started dropshipping?
Mm-hmm.
That was something I entered. It was like a full on, like full page of stuff.
Mm.
And then the links.
So realistically, like, let's just take dropship because of the recipe. You don't really need, it depends on how complicated it is, but if it's something simple, you could probably never click over. Dropshipping to me, you could probably get the fundamentals, but at some point you're going to need to click over to get more in-depth information.
That's and things correct. Like that. That's correct. But what if it was something simpler, like, right. Yeah. Like yeah, a recipe, for example, you never click over.
Well, I think about it's been one of my top posts in search for years and years and years is how to substitute applesauce for oil in a recipe. So if you want to be healthier and use canola or olive oil in a recipe, or you want to use applesauce to replace the oil in a recipe, you know, here's how you do that. And the recipe still tastes good. And it's literally a 2-sentence answer, right? So that could easily be posted on the search result page and people would never have to click over.
I mean, isn't it like a 1-sentence answer? Just switch it.
It is a little dependent on the recipe that you're making far as the, it's not always 1-for-1 exactly, but for the most part, it is 1-for-1. And that's what people usually want to know. They want to know, is it just 1 cup of oil for 1 cup of applesauce, or is there differences? And there's very small differences for certain things. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, the Google result answer would be the answer, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is just like a featured snippet on steroids. Mm-hmm. I remember when Google introduced featured snippets, certain websites lost like 80-90% of their traffic. Like the query, what's the weather?
Yeah.
You know, the answer is right there. You don't need to click on a site to check that anymore. So,
see, for me, featured snippets was great. If you could get into the featured snippet, it almost always meant people would click over because they got like a little more of a taste of what you were talking about for as far as recipes, DIYs, how-tos. But now with it feels like more information being given in the results, it's now the opposite. It's worse.
Yes, for sure, because they're essentially giving you the entire answer.
Right.
I haven't tried recipes because I don't bake or cook.
You don't need a recipe for grilled cheese.
Yeah. Give me a recipe for peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah. What? How do I bake Tyson chicken nuggets? Yeah.
How many minutes in the microwave for
quesadilla recipe, please? Yeah. So I mean, I've heard for recipes, it's actually pretty crappy because it is giving a lot of information. And for most recipes, unless it's something very complex, like something that you would bake and has multiple steps, you would get all the answers in the search results.
I wonder if like the deal bloggers are going to get affected. Like, what are the best deals on this? And what if it just lists all of them?
So I think for the deal bloggers, it depends on if Google gives you the link to click through to the deal, because when deal bloggers post their deals, they always or almost always use a direct link to the offer. So they're going to send you right to the page that you need to be on to get that deal. And so if it's just giving you the information, like I sure do not want to go to walmart.com and try to find the deal. I want to click directly on it and put it in my cart and check out. So it depends on probably how Google's linking back. So if it's linking directly to the deal, they absolutely won't do it.
Well, that's what I mean. What if Google just links to the deal with their ad or something?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the people who are doing affiliates aren't going to get that cut anymore.
Yep. So I would say for the deal bloggers who have weathered the storm over the past probably 10 years, people that have been deal blogging for 10 years and still are generating revenue, it's probably not going to affect them at all. They've never had great search traffic in general because of the fact that deals usually only last 24 to 48 hours. So the content is always changing and updating. So they don't have a lot of that evergreen SEO rich content, and the posts are 3 and 4 sentences long sometimes. You know, people are not trying to win. They're trying to win on they've built up an audience who, like, if I want a deal, I go to certain deal blogs to find it. If, like, for Prime Day, I'm not going to Google what are the best deals on Prime Day. I'm going to go to Hip to Save and find out what the best deals are for Prime Day because I know she's going to curate them all and I don't want to look for them. So I think the deal bloggers that have been in it for a long time and have a loyal following, and some of these deal bloggers have millions of readers, right? They'll probably be okay. Now, will they gain new people from Google searches and things like that? Probably not, right? Because that's going to go away for them.
You know, I think it's a fine line. Like if Google pretty much makes it so that there's less traffic going everywhere, I'm going to stop writing content probably on the blog.
Yeah.
If all of Google is doing is scraping my stuff and I'm not getting any traffic for it, or if the people stop making affiliate revenue, the content's going to dry up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then where is Google going to get their information from?
Well, that's what I've always wondered since all of this started, was the information is coming from the people creating the information that they're trying to now take away the ownership of that information.
Yeah, I suspect there'll be a way to block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could always block Google, actually, but no one does it because it's free traffic.
So you can block. So AdThrive, I think we talked about this either in an Office Hours or another podcast, is AdThrive introduced something a couple months ago where you could block your content from being scraped from Google.
But I mean, you could always do that, but why would you do that?
Well, I guess because you don't want it to be scraped for AI, but then you're also not going to be found in search, right? Isn't that sort of the other side of it? Yeah. Doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's on the Google search front. On the YouTube front, I think it seems like every platform now has a shopping platform related to short form video.
Yes, I agree with that.
And maybe that's the way people are going to start selling going forward. So I am going to start experimenting with all that stuff. Hopefully I'm not going to be the one generating short form for Bumblebee. Yeah.
Well, I know TikTok Shop is very popular, where people buy right on TikTok.
Yes. And all the platforms are doing that. Amazon has one called, I think, Amazon Discover. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, it's the Discover feed or the Inspire feed. One or the other.
Inspire, that's what it is. YouTube has shoppable videos also. So
Pinterest just re-released. So they had buyable pins a long time ago. That sort of faded. I'm not sure what they did with that. They discontinued it, but now they've reintroduced a native shopping platform on Pinterest. Facebook has Facebook Shop, Instagram has Instagram Shop. So every platform is doing that in regards to.
Here's one thing I discovered. So Instagram Shop now forces you to check out directly on Instagram. Back in the day, you could get by steering people to your website,
mm-hmm.
but now you have to use Instagram checkout where they take it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which
makes it difficult because it doesn't make it to your shopping cart. Now you got to manage two platforms. It's annoying.
Which is why email is king.
But if you want to expand, or some industries like fashion rely on Instagram, right?
Or TikTok. Yeah, for sure.
Or TikTok. Yeah.
I have almost bought something on TikTok multiple times.
I'm curious.
Just like any stuff, clothes. I was like, oh, I really like that shirt or something like that. And then at the last second, I've been like, I don't really need it. I also hate shopping from my phone. So, which I'm definitely in the minority on that. Most people can shop from their phone. No problem. I just find it annoying. So usually I drop off. But then it's nice because I get retargeted for like 2 months with the product. I think that is definitely... If you sell a product, you know, you need to start being on. It's just a great way to expand your reach to be on all those platforms. It's a pain, but it's probably necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where the world's going. I don't think e-commerce, we were just talking about the search generative experience. I don't think that's going to affect e-commerce.
Mm-mm.
Because the search results are just lead to stores. And then, I think that'll be fine. You know what I've been seeing on YouTube a lot lately, which kind of annoys me. I hope these videos don't do well. It's just AI generated.
Yep.
I call it spam, I guess. It's like a bunch of B-roll and images with like a clearly AI narrated voice.
Yeah, I can't. I won't watch them. I will immediately scroll.
I mean, on TikTok too.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And they do well because if they made it into my feed and they have a ton of likes, it's doing well, right?
Yeah. Because it's always something kind of catchy initially, or they have a good hook to get you in. I can't handle the AI voice. It just drives me nuts for some reason. I'm just not interested in that stuff. I feel like it's low effort. And so that it's probably not the answer or what I'm looking for.
I mean, I've watched a couple. So if the topic is really interesting, it works.
Yeah.
I think the last Google update, which occurred this month, actually, was because it was trying to sort through all the new AI generated junk that's on Google.
Yeah.
Right. That was part of it. And I imagine they're going to have to do the same thing on YouTube, maybe, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's weird because I think there's some very good things that have come out of AI. Like, for example, I wanted to write an email for a client about throwing a birthday party for a kid. And I mean, I have thrown probably 100 kid birthday parties in my life, but I was like, I just want, like, please organize my thoughts better. Right. So I put it into ChatGPT with, you know, give me the top 10 tips for a kid's birthday party, whatever. And then I took the outline basically from ChatGPT and wrote it way better, in my opinion. And so I like it for that level of like, hey, I just need some inspiration on like what to start with, what to talk about, maybe something that I'm not thinking of. But then I don't want to read that article that ChatGPT spit out to like look for my own education, right? I want something that's a little more, I don't even know what the right word is, less computerized. I don't know.
There's this one TikTok channel that I just came across where it's clearly an AI female, like a very attractive AI female. And then the voice is kind of borderline. It almost sounds like a real human. Mm-hmm. And this fake woman has a ton of subscribers.
Interesting.
Hundreds of thousands. And all it is like her narrating whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it works.
Yeah.
Maybe people are going to be following fake people next year.
Oh, I think I think people already are following fake people because it's interesting. I'm still in a couple of like dating Facebook groups where it's like it's not to find a date. It's for people to like complain about dates and vet people that they've matched with. So they basically post a picture of someone they've matched with online and say, hey, does anyone have any information about this person? Mainly like for safety. Right? Because you're like going out with someone you met online. There could be a lot of danger in that. But one of the things that I'm seeing all the time in these groups is people who are using AI to not maybe create in a completely different persona, but definitely create a enhanced persona of themselves. And it's funny because there's a couple people in the group that are like the AI spotters. And every time someone will post a picture, they're like, that's AI. That's not a real photo. But you know, they like immediately come down on it. And so I think people are already doing this. Like I think especially in the dating apps, people are creating AI profiles all the time now. And which to me just is like crazy. Like, what do you do? Is it just like you want the fun of chatting with people? Maybe that's probably people are a little lonely. So it makes sense. But, you know, you're never going to be able to meet this person because you've computerized yourself. They're going to meet you. They're going to walk up to you and be like, oh,
it's just like these filters are amazing now too, right? If you use a filter for everything and then you see the person in real life.
Yeah. It reminds me of like back in the 80s and 90s when real estate agents would have their picture on the side of their car, but they had a picture from like 20 years previous. And so you would see the picture on the side of the car and then you would see the person driving the car and you're like, that is not... like you've seen better days, ma'am. But that's just like it always makes me think of that. It's like these people would use their picture on their business cards, but they used a picture from at least 10, possibly 20 years earlier. And it just doesn't look like them anymore.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a short form strategy that's sustainable. So I did start using Opus Clip, which is an AI tool that goes through all your videos and pulls out good clips. And just as low-hanging fruit, I just ran the tool and just started posting those. It's gotten mixed results because I think a good short-form video needs a good hook.
Yeah.
So I think going forward, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use that to extract out the good parts of my video and then just re-record it and then have my VA edit it. That starts next week, so I'll let you know. I'm sure it'll go much better.
Yeah, because with their stuff, you don't get the hook, right? It just starts?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best part is if it's a good short form video, you can link it directly to your full YouTube video. So they can just click and watch it. And hopefully that'll just generate more traffic and awareness altogether across the board.
Well, I think the different thing about the short form, especially on YouTube, is that it just sort of appears in people's feeds.
Yeah.
Similar to TikTok. Whereas I don't scroll YouTube that often, but more and more people are just scrolling. And so I think that short form video on YouTube is going to become really important to people who are creating a YouTube presence. Like the shorts are going to be, if you're not already doing them, they probably are something that you have to incorporate into your strategy for this year, the remaining part of this year and next.
You know, I think for YouTube, I always end up on the shorts or the store. I can't remember. Yeah. YouTube shorts.
What's it called?
I always get myself in the rabbit hole of that on the app. I'm looking for a long form video mm-hmm. on basketball usually because it's starting back up, thankfully.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then I'll get stuck on this one clip, and then before you know it, you're just scrolling.
Yeah. That happens to me on Facebook a lot because I'll go on Facebook to just like, you know, check something or whatever, and I'll see something will catch my eye and I'll click on it. And then the next thing you know, I'm in like just shorts over, like I'm just stuck in there. And I forget I'm even on Facebook because I think, oh, I must be on TikTok or whatever, but I'm not. It's just, I mean, they hook you so well into it. It's such a, I don't know. It's such an interesting way to get people to spend more time on the platform, right?
I've had these discussions with people in my mastermind group about short form video not leaving a lasting impression, though. Like if you're just seeing in passing a clip that's like 30 seconds or whatnot, you tend to forget about that person. And I think only with like repeated exposure of like months or years will that person actually register in your head, as opposed to watching a long form YouTube video.
So you've done some shorts combined with your long form video on YouTube. What's the best way to get people? I mean, is there any tricks? I mean, tricks is not the right word. Hacks to getting people from short form to long form on YouTube specifically? Because that's probably the place where it matters the most.
I mean, the only thing I've been doing is linking over from the short to the long form video, but my shorts aren't that great right now. So once I start doing the re-edit and introducing the hook, I'm sure it'll be much better. Back in the day, I was recording custom shorts, and it was just something that, you know, you got to post like every day, once a day. And it was just something that I didn't want to sustain. So I was been thinking about easier ways to do it. But it worked on TikTok. It worked on TikTok because when I was making those custom shorts, you know, that's how I hit 100K subs and not that long, I don't think, on TikTok.
Your TikTok was really fast. Now, is there any benefit for you because you do have all that TikTok content? Is there any benefit for you to put that on YouTube since it's already done and recorded?
Yes, I should do that actually.
Yeah, because it's like, why waste all that? And did you post it also to Instagram? I can't remember. I thought you did.
I did not post it to Instagram because I feel like Instagram is like my friends, people I know. So if I just all this, what I need to do actually is just to create a separate My Wife Quit channel just for that. And then keep the one I have my personal. It's just tough because, you know, I already got, I think, close to 10,000 subs on it. I'm not really big on social media, if you guys know me at all, because I don't like social media.
Correct.
But that one's for my friends. What are you doing? What would you do if you were me?
I think because you've already created all of this content for TikTok, I mean, I don't know how many videos you've created, but probably well over 100.
Yes.
I would use them in all the different platforms. And you know, the other thing I would do is I would put them on Facebook because I think your audience specifically is probably on Facebook a little bit older, right? They're still, because I find myself on Facebook Reels, whatever they're called, shorts. I don't even know what Facebook calls them.
Yeah.
I find myself on those a lot because Facebook is where I tend to check things. And so I think you would probably benefit from putting them on Facebook.
I agree with you on the Facebook side. So the Instagram side, you think I should just forget about the fact that it's just my buddies and just start posting?
Is it just, you don't have 10,000 buddies.
I don't have 10,000 buddies, but these are...
You don't even have 10,000 friends. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. The people I care about are on Instagram, though. So I guess I could just start posting that stuff.
I mean, I would, if you don't want to do Instagram, which I can kind of see why you wouldn't, I would definitely do Facebook. Because you could do it on Facebook under My Wife Quit Her Job.
Correct. Yeah. Right. That one's not... There's no conflict of interest there.
I think those would actually perform fairly well for you.
What I want to do is just get it off my plate. So I'm not...
Right. But that's involved. Something someone else can do because it's already been created, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So that's
I guess the only tricky part is writing little captions.
Yeah. But can't they just basically use the same captions from TikTok?
The TikTok ones are like 6 words. Mm. Whereas like on Instagram.
Yeah, you can do a little bit more.
Yeah, you can do a little bit more.
So one trend that I'm really curious about, and I've seen other people sort of rocket in the last 18 months, is LinkedIn.
Actually, I am on LinkedIn now.
Well, weren't you always on LinkedIn though?
Well, no. But I gained like 300 subscribers in a week, actually.
Okay.
Posting the same stuff that I was posting on Twitter or X.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Twitter has really gone downhill for me ever since the last change.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on with X, but I think they're promoting tweets where you're engaging a lot with mm-hmm. the people.
Yeah.
And that's just something I'm not willing to do.
You're like, that's too much work. I'm not.
No, I mean, I think in order to be good on Twitter, you have to be on Twitter responding and everything now.
Yeah, I agree. I actually, it's funny, I haven't been on Twitter in so long. I actually really enjoy Twitter. I don't know now, I might not enjoy X. But I actually really did enjoy the conversations. It's how I did a lot of, actually, it's how I did all of my networking early on.
Yeah, I never got into it like you did. I mean, that was your secret sauce. I remember you tweeted.
It was my secret sauce. So I always feel like in the back of my head, like I should, and to me, Twitter is something that's easy to do on your phone, to scroll through and just comment, retweet, whatever. I need to go through and clean up my feed a little bit and get out some things that I don't care about anymore and probably add some stuff that I do. But are you on Threads at all?
No. I mean, I am on it.
Yeah, I mean, I have an account. Yeah.
It's dead. Yeah. It's dead.
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, it was just, it got a lot of users because they pretty much forced you to create an account. But I mean, it offered no value. So
yeah. So you're basically posting your Twitter content on LinkedIn.
It's not exactly the same content.
Okay.
It's slightly longer form.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the old Twitter threads that mm-hmm. I used to make.
Yeah. You don't make those anymore?
Threads stopped working on Twitter because they started measuring the engagement on a single tweet as opposed to a series of tweets. So making into a series of tweets actually ended up diluting it.
Hmm. Okay.
A lot of things have changed since Elon took over. It's not the same platform.
That's unfortunate.
Anymore. I mean, I think whatever he's going to do is going to work, but he's favoring, I think, news and mm-hmm. more up-to-date stuff and people who engage mm-hmm. with everybody.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to spend a lot of your time on the platform, mm-hmm. then I'm sure you can make it work. Yeah. Kind of like Instagram, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's pretty much the case with most platforms, right? The more time you invest into it, the more likely you are to be successful.
I think for most social programs, that's the case. For anything Google related, that's not the case. Like YouTube, I could stop publishing and the traffic would last for a while.
Oh, Yeah. It would hold on for a bit, for sure.
Yeah. So
LinkedIn, I feel like, is sort of the... It's the hidden gem right now. Not a lot of people. There are a lot of people doing it, but not in comparison.
Yeah, because you know what's funny is, and I know a lot of people are using LinkedIn for years now,
mm-hmm.
but it'd been a while for me. And I'm like, this doesn't look like the LinkedIn of old. This is Facebook.
It does. It definitely has a different feel. I was just on it the other day. I wonder, though, do you think LinkedIn is primarily for people who are writing in the business, your money, your life space? Could like a home decor blogger use LinkedIn? I don't know. I don't know if that works.
You can, but it's the audience is different.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more braggy.
Interesting.
It's more about, you know, what you've accomplished mm-hmm. and It matches my niche, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure LinkedIn is for every niche.
Yeah.
But, well, like, I think for, this is a perfect example. When I was at ECF, and we talked about this on the last podcast, the girl who talked about creating content because she sold cannabis and wasn't able to advertise and things like that.
Yeah.
She was starting to use LinkedIn because her podcast is basically geared towards people who sell cannabis, not people who want to buy it. Right. So right. She has a business podcast for people in that industry. So to me, that podcast content could also live on LinkedIn and probably be a good space for that because it's business based versus like consumer based.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about LinkedIn to comment because I don't really follow anyone in the, in that space. Well, just in general, yeah. Or like what you do, which is, you know, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really follow anyone on LinkedIn like that. So like my LinkedIn profile is basically all my employers and all my coworkers.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, a whole bunch of random people that follow my work. But
so. Yeah, I didn't even
have it updated for a while. Like it still had like my employer, my education and all that stuff. And that was it. I didn't even mention, you know, Bumblebee Linens or My Wife Quit or Seller Summit or anything like that.
It's funny though, because once you update it, people kind of come out of the following you, and it's interesting to see that how quickly people respond to when you make an update. Cause I update mine not enough, but like probably once a year I go in there and update it. And every time I do, I get people messaging me, I get new people following me, and I haven't done anything. I haven't even produced any content. I've just changed like my workplace or something like that. And it still manages to get people's attention.
I can't see how you can respond to messages on that platform because it is like, I mean, I get a ton, hundreds like, every single
like
congratulations
week. Congratulations on your work anniversary or like no, questions.
Just people DMing you or messaging you. It's just too much. It's like all spam, I feel.
I don't get a lot of spam, but I don't post anything. So that's probably why. If you're posting stuff, maybe you're going
to
get the spam.
Well, even when I wasn't really, when I just installed the app just to kind of get to know it better and I made some updates, like they just came flooding in.
Yeah. So sort of wrapping up like the end of 2023, what do you see for 2024? Like what do you, I mean, I think for me, it's video all the way. We've been saying this for years, but I think with the sort of, you know, ChatGPT phenomenon that's taken over this year, video just becomes far more valuable because it is, I think even though they can make these AI videos, they're much harder to replicate than it is to replicate the written word.
Yeah, I mean, I think videos, it's been video for like the past several years. It's really hard to AI it. I mean, even audio is pretty easy to AI now.
Yeah.
As evidenced at ECF when Udarian put all these words in my mouth by using AI.
Yes.
So, I mean, what's left? I mean, there's all those deep fakes out there too. Like you've seen the Tom Cruise deep fake, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe video's right around the corner too.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just going to be sitting at home one day watching AI generated content for entertainment.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. I think this is just more confirmation that your brand needs to be personality driven, right? Or cause driven, or there needs to be something about, there needs to be more than just information. There needs to be more to what you're doing. I was with some friends this weekend and one of the things that is really important to them is like sustainable fabrics. So, you know, only buying clothing made out of certain materials, like that's, you know, so those people that sell those types of clothing can have a really great brand story. They can have a really good loyalty, right? A cause behind what they're doing. And I think those types of brands will continue to see a lot of success because people can get behind something like that really easily. And that's a lot harder to fake.
That's true. That's true. There's a lot of brands that have been successful because of stuff like that. I don't know. I see apparel as being really difficult in general.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Especially since all the fast fashion companies are selling apparel at like 5x cheaper, mm-hmm. right? Than one of those brands.
Yeah.
Do you wear name brands or do you do the fast fashion stuff or?
I don't buy any fast fashion.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I very, very little fast fashion, I should say. It's, I can't say that I don't have anything, but that's definitely not.
Yeah.
I just don't like stuff that after two washes has three holes in it. And I don't care if I only paid $7 for it. It's like, well, now I've got to throw it away and replace it. Like, that's not worth it to me.
Just never wash it. That's the secret.
Oh, that's the secret. I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Someone asked me the other day, hey, should I start a podcast? And I always have mixed feelings when I answer that question. Because I still feel like growing a podcast is extremely difficult.
It's hard.
Right. Even if YouTube's getting into the game. So maybe YouTube can do a better job of proliferating podcasts. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should start a podcast if you have something really unique and great to say. If you don't, I probably wouldn't start a podcast.
Well, like of the choices, podcasting is definitely last on my list.
It's also way easier than making video if you're not comfortable in front of a camera.
It's true.
So, I mean, it's crazy to me how many people, like, I definitely don't think that the podcast world is dying out. I think more and more people are listening to podcasts. Like, my kids all listen to podcasts. I had no idea. But they all have their favorites and things that they're listening to. When they have their friends over, they all listen to podcasts. Like, I think it's still a growing, you know, medium for content. It's just, it's really difficult to one, like, break in, but then two, like, what are you gonna, you have to have something interesting to talk about. You have to have either personality driven or content driven. Like, look at our friend Lisa, who's, you know, got crazy amount of downloads on the, with just talking about organizing, right? I mean,
yeah,
she's beating out most marketing con podcasts, and she's speaking directly to people. And, you know, there's no way to make money from her, you know, she's not teaching anything to make money or things like that. It's truly a, like, hey, you need to get your life organized better. Here are the things you need to do. And, you know, she's got a crazy, crazy number of downloads. So I think there's still a lot of opportunity there in all niches.
I think the main problem I have with podcasting right now is everything that related to podcasting is hard to measure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I could somehow quantify the effect of the and I know it has an effect, because when people join my class, they say, oh yeah, it's because I listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
So the podcast is definitely valuable to me. I just don't know how valuable it is. And out of all my properties, it grows slowly, but it's up and to the right. And the people who do listen are very loyal.
Yeah. Oh, your podcast listeners are super loyal. And I will say, at Seller Summit, I had multiple people come up to me and say, oh, we heard about Seller Summit through Tony, you were on this podcast, or Steve, you went on this podcast. So it's definitely effective. It's just not like a visitor to your site that you can track and figure out where they came from, get them on. It's just much tougher to quantify that information.
Yeah. But, you know, looking forward to 2024, I think it's just more of the same. I mean, things just get more competitive. And if you can do video, we can talk about maybe in a future episode. I'm a little doom and gloom on 2024 in terms of, like, the economy.
You've been doom and gloom on the economy for like 5 years, though.
No, it hasn't been 5 years. Like, before, like, the pandemic.
Like, I feel like 2019, you were like doom and gloom.
I was doom and gloom for this year, actually. You know, because the rates were going up, and like the savings rate for people in the U.S. are like an all time low. Really high credit card debt, high interest rates means people aren't buying anything expensive, that is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, something's got to break. Fortunately, none of this stuff really affects, you know, content to a certain extent. So, anyway, we shouldn't end on like such a
no. That's such a negative note. Think it's
such a negative note.
I think the good news is that there's more opportunity than ever to break into content marketing. There's so many more platforms, so many more ways to do it. When you and I both got started, we say this all the time, there was literally just writing content. There was message boards. Like, that was all you could do. And today, there's so many different opportunities. We still know people today that have seen phenomenal success very quickly because of all the different ways that you can grow your audience. And so that's the exciting part, is that there's still opportunity out there for everybody, no matter what your no matter what your platform is.
I mean, I'm thinking about this from a different standpoint here. I think if the economy goes south, your job is going to be the first thing that's going to go. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be creating these side incomes. And you know, I'm always doom and gloom, but I'm already seeing it here in the Valley. Maybe that's why, because I'm living it firsthand. Mm-hmm. There's lots of layoffs happening here already. And you need to, I have friends who are scrambling, you know, looking for jobs, and you need to have that side income. And I think content is a great way to do it. I think e-commerce is a great way to do it. So sorry, that's my positive doom and gloom. How's that?
Well, okay. Let's close it out by saying the positive thing is that if you want to start a side hustle, feel more financially secure, there's still a huge opportunity out there. And you and I have no doubt that people can still be successful at it, even starting at the end of 2023.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. All right. And let's end on that positive note. Tony, you're just a ray of sunshine.
I am. Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.